Welcome to Refresh, a podcast designed to revive, recharge, and renew your faith and give you the tools to follow Jesus. Refresh comes to you from the Salvation Army in Gwinnett County, Georgia. We meet in person every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or online on Facebook and YouTube at Sal Army Gwinnett. We are excited that you have joined us this week and pray that God will bring His Word to life. And now, for our speaker.
I love the line from that song, Same God. You moved in power then. God, move in power now. Now, I love that line. It's faith. It's revival. It's revival. He did it then. I believe He can do it now. Let's all believe together that He can and will do it again. You moved in power. So we've made it to the end. Can you believe it? Of this first series. We've been in this for 9 weeks. We've made it to the end. The names of God. And we've only touched on a few of them. Certainly didn't cover them all. But we truly hope and pray that you drew in closer to God because of something you learned or something that God revealed to you through one of these names. And we come to our final name we're looking at this morning being Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Many times in Scripture, we find God revealing Himself to someone, and oftentimes He ties the name Jehovah to another name. We've already seen that for several weeks. He does this typically when people are going through difficult situations. I may have alluded to it a few weeks ago, but I remember this old chorus that we used to sing. I think it's a Don Moen chorus, but there have been many times I've sang it to myself when I've been going through something, and it goes like this, Jehovah Jireh. My provider, His grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me. Y'all know that song? I like it. It's a lot of fun. You know, it goes this, yeah. It's a lot of fun. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Thank you. I know there's a little bit more. There is a second part to it. But His grace is sufficient for me, for me. And trust me, we're going to make our way to this name, but we got a little bit of a ways to get there first. In Romans 4, Paul discusses the faith of Abraham in great detail and how it applies to the faith of all who believe today. Before you turn there, we're not actually going to get to Romans 4, but I'll let you know in a moment. But Paul wrote that Abraham was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. And perhaps no story better demonstrates Abraham's faith in the promises of God than the story of Abraham and Isaac that was presented beautifully for us. Thank you, Snelson, Holtz, and Hovatter and company. In Genesis 22, I invite you to have your Bibles with you as we go through this story. Genesis 22. Read along with me, and we've already heard it, and we're going to hear it again. We're going to read it again. Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2, it says this. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. So Abraham has proven himself to be a man of faith. We know that. And here at the end of his journey, his faith is tested to the uttermost. The promise of a descendant has now materialized. And now the question is, will Abraham continue to trust in God despite his promises appearing to be threatened? The phrase that begins this section, sometime later, loosely connects this episode with a previous storyline. But Isaac is probably now in his mid-teens, able to accompany his father on a three-day journey and able to carry wood up a mountain. The beginning of the chapter notes that God is testing Abraham, and this provides the audience with the needed perspective on the remainder of the chapter. Friends, God is always good. He's always good, even when he doesn't appear to be. God is always good. The key for us is to trust in his divine word. The key for us is to trust. God asks Abraham to give up his future, Isaac, completely to him. At the beginning of Abraham's journey, God commanded Abraham to give up his past. Here, Abraham's only response to the divine command is, "Here I am." These will be the only words he will speak to God in this chapter. The narrative records no arguing, no questioning, no doubting, no cajoling. You like that word? Abraham's silence is not ominous. He has settled faith. He has a settled faith. He is totally and completely available to God. He said, "Here I am. What would I have done, you ask? I'm picking up the phone," okay? Because you say, "Hey, what would you do, Captain?" "I'm picking up the phone and I'm calling my wife. I'm calling my wife and foremost, and I say, 'Babe, you're never going to believe what God has asked me to do with Lucas. You're never going to believe this.'" You can read it over again yourself, but nowhere does Abraham tell God he needs to ask his wife to talk it over. It's not there. If he had chosen to tell Sarah, it would have gone down like this: "Have you lost your mind? Have you lost your mind, Abraham? Yes, I'm angry. This little boy is the one I've been waiting on for more than 90 years. And you're telling me God told you to take my boy up that mountain and sacrifice him?" Now, she probably didn't have an accent like that, but I'm pretty sure that would have been the scene. But listen to verses 3 and 4. Listen to verses 3 and 4. "Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance." So how did Abraham respond to this test? Well, he got up early in the morning and he went. He obeyed immediately. He avoided partial obedience and delayed obedience, following God boldly into the unknown. He went where God told him to go. Do you notice all these verbs? And you students in the room are like, "Come on, it's Sunday. I'm not in school." But listen, it's neat to notice this. Look for the verbs in these few verses. Got up, saddled, took, cut, set out. In other translations, you'll find words like rose, loaded, split, and went. All of these words are now. It's immediate. I think we lack some immediacy these days. "Oh, well, we'll get to it. He needs to know about Jesus. We'll get to it." But it reminds me of a guy named Doug in our previous appointment. He was our operations director for a few years. And if we needed something done, we quickly realized that we'd tell Doug. And he got things done. And I remember probably our first couple months there in Greensboro, we're trying to get a hold of someone, and we emailed and we texted the person, and we're like, "Oh, they're not getting back to us." We went into Doug's office, and he said, "Oh, you can't get a hold of him? Doot, 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 doot. Here you go." And we're like, "Oh, yeah, I guess I could have just called him, right?" But he was always like that. He just did it. You asked him to do something, and he just did it. And it was awesome. It was always immediate. I don't know if we were afraid to actually speak or what, but it got me thinking But sometimes we just gotta do what we gotta do, right? I think God's calling many of us in the room to do what we gotta do for the kingdom, and we're sitting on it. Let's rise. Let's saddle up. Split the wood if necessary, and go. And go. Look at that fifth verse. Look at that fifth verse. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Wow. You hear that? There's so much depth just right here in this verse. Abraham expected that both he and Isaac would return. Isaac, you're going to return. Abraham expected that both of them would return. Let's hear what Hebrews 11 has to say about this, 17 through 19. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, 'It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned.' Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death." Wow. Tony Evans says this, "Abraham knew that the request to kill Isaac seemed ridiculous and that everything was against him from a human perspective. He also knew that others might think God didn't know what he was talking about. Yet in the midst of his confusion and pain, he went to worship." Basically, he went to church. "He trusted that even if he went through with God's call to sacrifice Isaac, God, who had produced life through two aged and worn out bodies, could no doubt resurrect Isaac from the dead." That's why we read so much about Abraham and his faith. That's why. Now, had he seen a physical resurrection at this point? No. But he served the same God who gave him Isaac in the first place. He's already witnessed a miracle. And here they are now, making their way up the mountain where God told him to go. They have the wood and all the items for constructing the altar for a burnt offering. And who carried the stuff? Isaac carried all the items. So now is when we see Isaac get a little curious now. It's like, what's going on now? 7 and 8, verses 7 and 8. It says this, "Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, 'Father?' 'Yes, my son,' Abraham replied. 'The fire and wood are here,' Isaac said, 'but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' Abraham answered, 'God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son.' And the two of them went on together." Wow. This is incredible that Isaac is still traveling with his father. Isaac had a willingness to go, but he certainly lacked an awareness of the full plan. Despite the terrifying realization, Isaac remained as a willing sacrifice, trusting God's plan. Wow. I don't know if that would have been me. But let's keep reading. The next part is where the plot really starts to accelerate. 9 through 12. Verses 9 through 12, "When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, 'Abraham, Abraham.' 'Here I am,' he replied. 'Do not lay a hand on the boy,' he said. 'Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son.'" So I want you to put yourself here on the mountain standing beside Abraham. It would have been anything but calm. You'd be able to hear the labored breathing of both Abraham and Isaac. We typically envision Abraham walking up the mountain with his small son, you know? But remember, Isaac is well into his teen years, maybe even late teens. How much wood would it have taken for a large sacrifice? 40 pounds, 50 pounds? A child couldn't do that. Goodness, I couldn't do that. But not only did they just climb a mountainside of about 2,500 feet. This was not just, they're climbing here. But the utter confusion alone would have caused a change in their breathing. They probably stunk too. So sweat overcoming their bodies. But then, Abraham, stop. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Now I know that you fear God. That would have been the fastest I'd stopped anything in my life. Stop. Now, but he says, now I know. But God knows everything, right? But didn't God already know? Doesn't God know everything? Well, of course he does. He is God Almighty, the omniscient one who knows everything from beginning to end. He is Alpha and Omega. But in the moment, God is playing out this experience with Abraham. More so when the angel of the Lord says to Abraham, now I know, what he's actually saying is, now I have experienced that you fear me. Now I am experiencing in the moment that you fear me. God is all-knowing, yes, but he's also a part of our everyday experiences. He's in our hearts. He's in our emotions. God knows who has, who is, and who will praise his name, yet he's not done with our praises. Psalm 22, verse 3, yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. God is enthroned, meaning he is in the midst of it all. He's still here, friends. Goodness, he sent Jesus to be born as a human to participate in the human experience. What does Hebrews tell us again? For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. God knows that Abraham fears him now because he is experiencing it with him. And you're like, okay, get to Jehovah Jireh. Here we go. Genesis 22, 13 and 14. Verses 13 and 14. It says, Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Amen. God reveals things in his time, does he not? Unbeknownst to Abraham, as they're making their way up the mountain, a ram was making its way up the other side. Abraham saw the ram once he obeyed God's command. So many times the answers to your troubles are right around you, but God is going to reveal it when he's ready. How frustrating this can be right at times, but the Lord will provide. Abraham fittingly commemorates the event by renaming the mountain Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Now, this story is extreme, but we'll probably find ourselves in something like it at some point. No doubt there are extreme moments where it can seem like obediently trusting God is absolutely ludicrous. And in those moments, hold on to what we know of God, believing that he does know best and that he will provide. It can seem impossible to trust God with our life. But ask yourself, how often do you put your trust completely in the hands of strangers? Think about the number of bridges you drive over, or the trips you've taken on an airplane. Carla has taken so many more flights in her life than I have. But every time is like her first. I walk away and can't feel the hand that she has crushed the entire time. We're going to my brother's wedding this next weekend in Tulsa, and I will get off of that plane and cannot feel whichever hand I won't feel it for days. What about the food you eat without being able to see and inspect the food prep? God is asking us to entrust our lives into His hands, but He's not a stranger. He's our very Father. He's our very Father. Is there any area of your life that you keep from God? Think about it. I want you to think about it. Is there any area of your life that you keep from God? If God were to say, I want this, or say, I want that, whatever this or that is, would you say no? Would you say yes? How much do you trust God? Are you willing to trust Him completely with what you value most? Now, I can't tell you what you value most. You know what you value most. In Abraham, we see a person of faith who has surrendered every area of his life completely to God and trusts God in all things. Abraham knew that God would either deliver Isaac from death or resurrect him following his death. Either way, God would keep His word. But let me tell you about Jesus. He also trusted God in the face of impending death, right? The ultimate son of the promise, Jesus asked that God would take away this cup of His suffering. Yet Jesus knew that God would be faithful, either by providing deliverance from death or through His impending victorious resurrection. Unlike Isaac, Jesus would willingly and confidently walk not only to the brink of death, but through death itself, and once again demonstrate the faithfulness of God to His promises. Man, God is good. As we come to a close here, I ask you again. I was going to say I ask you one question, but I ask you a lot of questions. But I ask you this. How is your faith right now? Where are you in your faith journey? We say that a lot as Christians, in your faith journey. But how is your faith right now? I know many times we'll testify and we'll talk about, well, I was saved at age 7, and that's great. Glory, hallelujah. But where is your faith now? If you testified right now, what would it look like? Only by faith can anyone hope to live a life that brings honor and praise to our God. God can be trusted, friends, and believers can hold fast to His promises because God is faithful. And yes, even in polarizing times we live in today, God is faithful. Don't get it wrong. When you log on to social media, don't get it wrong. God is faithful. Those with faith believe in a promise, something not yet seen and only hoped for, and can live a life of confident faith. This the believer can do, not because of the strength of the believer, but because of the character of God who always fulfills His promises. And in these next few moments, speaking of the character of God, I want to challenge you to think about the character of God through the lens of this series, The Names of God, that we've been on for the last 9 weeks. You might have noticed when you came to give your offering, or you might have noticed sitting in your seat, there are these bookmarks or cards in the basket and on the holiness table here. I want to invite you, in a moment as we sing, to come and grab a bookmark. You'll find the series name on the front, and if you flip to the back, you'll find the name and the scripture reference of each week that we've gone over, each name. I invite you to grab a bookmark. I invite you to kneel at the mercy seat, or you could take it back to your seat and pray. And for those of you, if you can't get up right now, just bug your neighbor and say, hey, bring me a bookmark, please. But I want you to reflect on these names. I want to make sure everyone has one of these bookmarks. But reflect on these names. Maybe it's Adonai you're connecting to right now. Pray that he becomes your Lord and Master. Maybe it's El Shaddai, that God is the Almighty One. Maybe you need to reflect on God's holiness more so that you can become more like him. Remember Jehovah Mekadesh. Whatever name that speaks to you more this morning, will you come? As the music is playing, we look to this sweet song. Take the name of Jesus with you. And we're going to sing it, but it's also a challenge. We need to take the name of Jesus with us today. Wherever we go, and I already mentioned social media, take it with you online too. Wherever you are, will you take the name of Jesus with you? Child of sorrow and of woe, it will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. And the chorus says, precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Let's sing this song beginning with verse 1 as we reflect on his character and his faithfulness today. Will you come grab a bookmark and kneel? Just be in his presence as we sing.
Thank you for listening to Refresh. Be sure to hit subscribe and like us on Facebook and YouTube to never miss an episode. If you liked what you heard, be sure to share it with your friends and family. We pray that you will be refreshed and ready to take on your week. See you next time. God bless.